just another solid day in California. It's just the way that I was raised in California.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got.
Welcome back once again to the half rusty edition of the Fansmanship.com podcast, along with Kenny Stevenson. I'm Owen Main. Kenny, we had our third straight Cal Poly football loss this past weekend.
Cranking them out, I guess.
Yeah, cranking them out. Not great, but there's a lot to talk about still, and I'm glad to have you here to talk about it with me.
Kenny, happy to be here.
Yeah, so did you get a chance to watch the game live? Did you get a chance to watch it live,
but I watched it on watchbigsky.com. I watched the whole game. And I will say, which one of the things that we had said going into on last week's podcast was that they needed to, based on their previous two losses in which they were down very early, they right, did actually right. like come show up. The first half, basically, they were in control a lot. Can I just go right to sleep? The energy I'm bringing right at the top here, man.
Let's go.
This is awesome. Anyway, no. I just felt like they were finally, like, as talking about coming out with energy. I feel like they were actually starting to dictate the tempo. And I think kind of what like ultimately happened was you had two offenses who are each trying to kind of do their – This is a really hot football take.
Let's go.
Two offenses trying to do their own thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know,
trying
like
to impose their will, if you will.
Like every single football game.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, like, you know, Cal Poly runs a very specific offense, and North Dakota runs, as we discussed last week, their multi-set offense. But when you watch it, it's like they're running all different types of different plays. And, you know, it seemed like But I think both offenses are kind of dictated around trying to keep the defense on the field as much as possible and kind of wear them out. And I feel like ultimately what happened in this past weekend was that Cal Poly was the defense that got tired first. And
yeah.
You can kind of see like right midway through the third quarter, North Dakota started moving the ball. They had a lot. They were in rhythm more, and Cal Poly couldn't sustain it.
I think that's probably an accurate way to put that. Is that, you know, they couldn't. They don't honestly, in terms of depth, have the horses to be on the field a ton.
We should say we don't have the Mustangs too.
Yeah. But it's true. I mean, there's a lot of guys there's at least a few in an already kind of not super deep middle of the defensive line who went out. One of their better ones went out on like the first play of the season. And it's a hard thing to recover from. The Mustangs it was the best first half I think I've seen this year, Kenny. I was there going like, oh my gosh, this is great. They're putting it together. You know, they got a chance to, you know, beat this North Dakota team who's pretty good. And they gave themselves every opportunity all the way down to the end of the game. I mean, when you think about it, the fourth quarter, North Dakota scored, I think, two touchdowns and a field goal. But, you know, you talk about, you know, giving up 17 points in a quarter. That's a lot of points in a quarter. Colton Thieker, I thought, was a bright spot, making a 42-yard field goal down by one to put them up by two. It was just, I thought, such a big, you know, such a big kick for him in terms of his season. He's a guy who's, you know, pretty highly touted local kid who's missed some field goals earlier in the season, but made this big one when it counted. And you thought, oh man, this could be a great, I made sure I got pictures of it all and the celebration afterwards. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the storyline of this game. And then North Dakota on a fourth down
play.
on a fourth down play, North Dakota runs it out to a tight end who leaked out. Cal Poly sold out to stop the run. And North Dakota made a really nice play call. Scored the touchdown at the end, and Cal Poly couldn't couldn't keep it moving. The Mustangs got a little bit conservative in the second half.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. I felt like there was a definite, like, I'll draw a parallel. Ooh. To it. Cause I'm still kind of right. I went to the LAFC LA Galaxy game last night.
Did you really? You were there?
I was at El Trafico. Yes.
I watched that game on TV.
Yeah. And I am an LAFC fan. I've been to many a game. It's fantastic. And yeah, they were up 2-1 against the only team their major hurdle as a franchise is to actually defeat the LA Galaxy. They've only ever tied them.
Oh, really? They hadn't ever beat them, period.
They've never beat them. They've only lost or tied.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So, but they came out the second half and were just kind of like, we got, like, you know, really conservative, stopped kind of putting the pressure on, stopped, you know, doing their, having their full runs. Their set pieces were really kind of lax. And I feel like it was very, I'm killing this right now with this comparison. But, like, you know, Cal, that's exactly how Cal Poly came out of the second half, was just like, well, if we just keep doing our thing, we're going to be fine. But, you know, there's this other team that also kind of wants to do their thing too.
And who made some adjustments, right? Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And unlike the LAFC game, you know, North Dakota, or excuse me, which one should I say here? Oh yeah, nobody was super offsides and scored a touchdown.
Hey man. As all I know is that LAFC scored 5 goals, so, you know, take one off, they still won. That's all I'm going to say.
You're talking to a Galaxy fan here, Stevenson. So let's go.
We could talk about my experiences at the game with Galaxy fans.
Oh, geez. I'm sure I don't want to talk about that, actually.
Well, the tickets that I got were from, like, a friend of mine, and he knew somebody who worked for LAFC, and our tickets were essentially, like, in the LA Galaxy supporters section.
Way up high on the corner there?
Yes. And we went to go sit in our seats, and there was basically, like, double the people where our seats were, and it was like right in the middle. Like, there was somebody standing in our seat, and then there was somebody standing in front of our seat, and it was just packed. And it's we were right.
So LA Galaxy fans bought a seat somewhere else, and then they wanted to hang out with the LA Galaxy supporters.
Yes, exactly. Right. So then we just were kind of like, are we going to be the guys that are going to make security, like, clear room so we can just sit down and then me cheer for the LAFC?
No, that would have been a poor decision.
So we were like, eh, so we had to stand, but okay. You know what? It was fine.
Okay. Well, that notwithstanding, I thought that, you know, that's definitely a good comparison.
Yeah,
Cal Poly's playoff hopes are probably pretty much gone now at this point.
Yeah. The best we can do is 6-5, right?
Yeah. So, I guess winning out all, you know, all remaining 4 games would be a big deal, beating Eastern Washington.
Let's just segue into this week's game, because if they were to beat Sac State this week, that would be their season. This is the Super Bowl this weekend, because Sac State is extremely good at football.
And Kenny, when I first started paying attention to Cal Poly football again, there was kind of this, like, there was a T-shirt that they had. And it said, "Win the state, win the sky."
Ooh.
And that was, that those were really their good, 2 goals, cool, I think, shirt. Back then, was to win the state. They usually play San Diego a lot of years. They play Davis and Sac State every year. And in terms of, like, recruiting and other things, if you can win the state, you have that to hold over those other teams. And at the time, Cal Poly was winning the state, and Davis and Sac State were both, I think, probably significantly worse programs than Cal Poly, even though Cal Poly didn't always beat them every single year. But if you win the state, then you have a pretty good chance to win the conference, right? You win those two state games, you're the best team in the state. You're probably pretty well set up to win the conference. And if you compete for the conference, you're going to be able to go to the playoffs. So, you know, I think it was kind of an inside out mentality that they had. And over the past, I think it's only been like probably 2 or 3 years, Kenny, since Cal Poly played that game against USD at home, that playoff game in the rain on Thanksgiving week that they lost. And since then, it seems like, I don't know, the wheels have kind of fallen off in terms of the win the state thing. Cal Poly, you know, Davis and Sac State have both improved and increased their team, you know, I think exponentially, well, the Mustangs haven't. And this is, you know, a huge game for everybody, not just for like the game itself, but for recruiting this season. One of the things that, Joe Davidson, who's a reporter at the SAC B, told me was that, Sacramento State hired a new coach with Sacramento ties, and they've been able to kind of keep some Sacramento kids in Sacramento over the past couple of seasons. And Cal Poly is a program that's been able to get players from the surrounding areas, let's say, of Sacramento and Davis, and kind of the East Bay and even the Sacramento area itself. I mean, you think about quarterbacks from Folsom High, like Dano Graves and their backup now, Jake Jeffrey, is from Folsom High School. There's been running backs and other players who are from that program and other local programs around there, along with JUCO guys. So if Sacramento State's keeping Sacramento kids, and if UC Davis is recruiting the Bay Area like they are, then those two teams, you know, start to be really formidable. And I think it's the first time where Cal Poly has been pretty clearly third in terms of the pecking order, at least going into this game. You beat Sac State, though. Now you have a little bit of something to hold over them, either, you know, just on the scoreboard, but also in recruiting, too.
Well, especially this year. First of all, wonderful analysis there, Owen. That was great. Next level. I did not know any of those things you were talking about, and now I do. Yeah, I feel like if they win this game this weekend, it would be huge, because Sac State is playing extremely well right now. They're ranked in the top 10 nationally.
They beat Montana last week.
They like easily beat Montana last week. They have the number one offense in the conference. They have the number one defense in the conference. They average almost 41 points per game. Like
they're good at the football.
Yes, and their quarterback is coming off a week where he was named the FCS player of the week, not the conference player of the week, the best player in the FCS.
They drilled Montana last week. I mean, it wasn't close.
He threw for 4 touchdowns and ran for 2 more. So, you know, this is going to be an extremely difficult test this weekend. And had we had been successful against Davis and
North Dakota.
I was going to say Montana. Yeah, all the last few games, North Dakota. Montana State, because they're in conference. North Dakota, sure. I know it counts as a loss against us in conference, but had we been successful in at least 2 out of the previous 3 games, I would probably have a little more hope coming into this game, but I don't have a lot of hope coming into this game. But you never know what's going to happen. It is at home. It's Mustang Family Weekend, so I mean, there's that, I guess.
Yeah, there is that. That is a thing that there is. And that means that probably there'll be more people in the stands. You know, Cal Poly football, I always have a theory that they have like 1 or 2 weekends to be able to really kind of, I don't know, it's like opening night, right? The first time, you can never make a first impression twice or whatever that saying is. And usually it's like the first week that students are in, if they have a game that week, there's usually some freshmen who show up, and those freshmen go, huh, what's this all about? And if they put on a good show, then they go, oh yeah, cool, football game. I like Cal Poly football. And if they don't put on a good show, not so much. And that was probably maybe the Montana State game, because I think that was the second home game since San Diego, and I don't think the students were here yet for San Diego.
They were not.
And so the Montana State game was okay. Like, it's Montana State. It's a good team. You know, they hung in there for most of the game. It was a pretty exciting game at the end. All right, cool. You know, they go up to Davis and do what they did at Davis and come back, and it's another exciting game. So I feel like, you know, in terms of like close games and stuff, maybe there's opportunities for, you know, for showing off for fans and parents alike, who are going to probably want to go to the game as something to do. I would imagine that's something that that people do when they come into town and hang out with.
I could tell you, as somebody who gets all the alumni emails, because I know you are not an alumnus, but I am.
I am an alumnus, Kenny Stevenson.
You are? I thought you went to UCSD.
I did for undergrad, and I went to Cal Poly for grad school. I am actually in the Alumni Association board, it turns out, at Cal Poly.
I will shut the hell up then. No, it did say on the list of things to do on the Mustang family weekend, it did suggest to go to the football game. Yeah. I mean, I remember even when I was at school, like when I was at Cal Poly, the two games that, you know, people would get up for would be Davis and Sacramento State. I believe at some point there was a Suck State t-shirt that was pushed around. Which, I mean, hey.
It might have been accurate then, man, but it's not really now.
Yeah, unofficially, I'm here for it. But no, they definitely do not suck. I will say another statistic that I wrote down in my notes is that Mustang coach Tim Walsh is actually 18-3 versus Sac State all time if you include his time at Sonoma State.
Excuse me, Portland State.
Portland State. No, he coached at Sonoma State too.
So Sonoma State might have beat him as well, but
because Sac State used to be D2.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, you know, Tim Walsh has like a high is batting in the high 700s.
And that's what I was saying, Kenny, about like back in the day, it was true. Cal Poly was like significantly better than Sac State, and the Davis game was always a toss up, but they were a better program than Davis generally, for a while. And that's just a hard thing to come to terms with if you're a Cal Poly fan now. One thing that's not hard to come to terms with.
Oh, I love your trend. Wherever you're transitioning to, I'm already here for it.
Is a cool, refreshing Bon and Viv hard seltzer.
Go there. Let's go
that,
there.
That's not hard to come to terms with. That's it. That goes down easy. And
so easy.
And I know last week we had a simple, was it grapefruit flavor? That we highlighted, and I know you probably have a flavor and a Bon and Viv moment of the week this week for
us. I do, guys. Quick recap: I can't drink sulfites and or wheat anymore, so that means beer, wine off the table. What can I drink? Hard seltzers, guys. It's hot right now, isn't it? It's like something like in the 90s.
It was 90, like 97 yesterday in Slow.
Yeah, you know what's super refreshing? A hard seltzer. It's just like having like, especially if you get this week's flavor, and I do have an addendum of something else I want to talk about this week in regards. That's why I want to rattle off this flavor real quick. Lemon lime, it's great. It tastes like you're drinking a LaCroix, but guess what? It's got booze in it. So it's great. Lemon lime, Bon and Viv. But I want to take a second, if I could, if you would indulge me for a second, Owen.
I'm indulging you.
Something else, those of us who have a sulfite allergy, something else that we can drink that is not a Bon and Viv is something called a biodynamic wine. And I did have some biodynamic wine this week. Are you familiar with biodynamic wines, Owen?
No, but I am about to be.
There's a lot of them are based in Napa. There are some throughout the country, but there's a lot, I'm sorry, not Napa, in Sonoma, mentioned Sonoma State where Tim Walsh used to coach. Sonoma, basically a biodynamic winery is a fully like self-sufficient organic winery. They use organic compost to help grow the wine. They don't use pesticides. They use like bees and bugs to kill the pests. This is all true.
Wow.
And basically what it becomes, the winery just becomes this kind of self-sufficient thing. The plants die, it goes into the compost. The compost then helps grow the new plants. The bees that live there indigenously keep the pesticides away. So you get a truly organic wine that doesn't have any sulfites added to it because they add sulfites to wine because it's based in grape. And so they want to, it's a preservative. But a biodynamic wine, a lot of them have no sulfite added, and I can drink those. So, you know, definitely have a Bon and Viv this week just because it's freaking hot outside and it's going to be way more refreshing than a glass of red wine. So it's not as apt as a thing for this week. But after the game, when you're cooling off in your house, pop open a bottle of a red biodynamic wine and you're going to have a great weekend, seriously.
And I'll just say this, you know, people don't really talk about it a ton, but if you're from out of town and you're listening to this somehow and you've made it this far into our blathering nonsense.
Congratulations to you.
First, thank you.
Yes.
Secondly, if you have a chance to walk up and down the tailgate row at Cal Poly and you're like a parent of a student, like, check it out. Make friends with people. People are super friendly. They always have extra food. Not to like offer to give everybody's food away, but like people are always willing to give you a bite of a, you know, a piece of tri-tip or even a sandwich, a little sandwich slider sometimes. Sometimes there's some good sausages and other things that are pretty yummy, if not cold beverages too. So everybody has stuff there. And the next two Cal Poly games are Parents and Family Weekend, so there should be a number of people there. And then Homecoming will happen later in the year too, I think in November, with Eastern Washington games. So you know, either one of those games, you could walk up and down tailgate row, even if you can't get into the barbecue that happens, go up and down the tailgate row and check it out. It's definitely a worthwhile thing.
And if you're carrying like a 12 or a Bon and Viv, I can't imagine you won't get invited into other people's tailgates.
Oh, dude, if you bring some Bon and Viv, you're in good shape. Good shape. Awesome. Yeah. Let's go to our next segment here, and that's going to be the unofficial KCPR Boo Boo Records album of the week. Kenny, and the Bon and Viv thing, super unofficial too, just to make that clear.
Yeah, 100% clear. We are not sponsored by Bon and Viv.
But Kenny would love to be the spokesperson for Bon and Viv if you'll let him.
Yes. I mean, for a normal SAG scale rate daily, yes, I will do it.
plus some unlimited lifetime supply of Bon and Viv.
We can negotiate that for sure.
Kenny was also a KCPR DJ, so let's get to our album of the week or song of the week.
Here it is, guys. Guys, my picks have always been kind of current things. I'm stepping back a little bit this week. We've already talked. This is a football show. We've already talked about, you know, the actual football in the LAFC. And the Galaxy, I guess we'll say them too, even though they lost. But my truest love in this world is the sport of basketball. And the NBA tipped off this week.
Yep.
I'm a diehard Laker fan.
We can agree on that.
Fantastic. And well, we're also both Dodger fans, so we have a lot going on. It's just the one thing. We can't win them all, Owen. So this week's record is a record that a friend of mine bought for me, an actual record. I have an actual record player. A friend of mine bought for me at the start of last year's Lakers season, and it's titled by, this is a actual band, and the name of the band is the LeBron Brothers Orchestra. And this is because he and I were both excited about LeBron playing for the Lakers. But this ended up being a really good album. He bought it for me as kind of a goof, but this is a band from the late 60s, early 70s. This is their first album. It's called Psychedelic Goes Latin. It's from 1967, and it's kind of like salsa, mambo type stuff. And you have there's Hector and Frankie LeBron, a.k.a. the LeBron Brothers, who play in this band. It is available to listen to on Spotify. I highly recommend. Again, we're not sponsored by Spotify either. But check it out. Put it on. It'll be a nice little thing to play when you're tailgating at around 3 o'clock. It'll be 90 degrees. You put some salsa music on. Crack open a lemon lime Bon and Viv. Guys, it's a big time Saturday, all right?
The LeBron Brothers. I like it. I like it.
The LeBron Brothers Orchestra.
Sorry.
I literally own the record, so...
Yeah, how would you compare it to Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass?
It's. I actually own one of their records as well. It's a little different. Herb Alpert is a little more. How would I classify it? It's a little more commercial. This is very much like this band. They were born in Puerto Rico and then they were raised in Brooklyn. To me. Feels like if you were to drive through a Puerto Rican neighborhood in Brooklyn, it would be the song that would be playing on someone out of someone's window on a hot day. It has that feel to it.
In like 1972?
Yeah, it really has that. It's a really good album. It was bought for me as a goof and I was like, this is good. I actually enjoy this.
All right. So the Mustangs are playing coming up here. Actually, it's tomorrow. We're recording this a little late this week, so I'll try to get it out on today, which is Friday.
You better.
So yeah, right. So what's I had something happen to me this week, Kenny, and I.
Oh wait, can I do the part where I try to explain football?
Oh yeah, we forgot, Kenny. Let's go. Kenny explains football. This week's Kenny explains football is going to be with play calling and not the actual plays that are called, but kind of how they call the plays. Kenny, what do you want to try to explain today?
I landed on this because the new coach at Sacramento State. Whose name I should have written down, but I didn't, and for lack of time will not look up. He was the offensive coordinator at Utah before. That's where he was the past 2 years. Utah, of course, is known as being a very known for having really good offenses. And the thing that probably won't see this at the Cal Poly game, but the thing that I've never really understood is the like big giant play cards that teams hold up with like all kinds of random pictures on them.
Right.
And you know, there's like a picture of, you know, like Herb Street, and then like
a Pokemon. You know,
a Pokemon, and then like Post Malone, and then like a thumbs up.
And like the Nike symbol.
And that's supposed to like tell people what's going on. So I did a little research on this, Owen, and guess what I found out?
What'd you find out?
Apparently, it's what those play cards are is a bunch of different shit. It could literally be nothing. They could be holding up a bunch of pictures to try to throw the other team off. It could be everything. It could be coverages. It could like telling the defense what their coverage is. It could be telling the offense what the play is. It could be telling the offense what the defensive coverage is. It could, a lot of times it's just one of the pictures is the actual, like, it's a picture of Kirk, it's a picture of Kirk Herbstreit. Kirk's name starts with a K, so we're running whatever play that starts with a K. It could be just that. It could be just nothing. It could be like all the other pictures are. I'm not explaining this well because it's hard. It's a hard topic to explain.
Absolutely.
Because there's basically, because I was like, I've always wanted to know what the deal with that is. And then when I researched it, I was like, oh yeah, I guess it's just, that's how they call plays, or it's how they're not calling plays.
And unless you're like a code breaker. And even if you are, you probably don't have time to figure all that out if you're the other
team. Yeah, but I find it fascinating that like quarterback or defensive guy can look at that and be like, and it's the reason, and I did learn this is very interesting. The reason they don't do it in the NFL is because they have earpieces. So this is the way they can do it in a loud stadium. So, hey, Mustangs, if you make the stadium loud this week, you might get some fun play cards later. So that's an incentive.
Yeah, for Troy Taylor and the Sacramento State Hornets. Troy Taylor is his name.
Got it. Yep. Got it. All right, now go to your story.
All right, so my story is kind of ending on a downer, Kenny. So I liked your play cards. And I always I always enjoy the contrast of play cards that, you know, and the things that people choose. I sometimes wonder if they just let like some student manager choose them all. So yesterday I get allergy shots, it turns out, for my allergies, my seasonal allergies. And I go and I take my computer and I do a little work, because you have to wait for like a half hour to make sure you don't have an anaphylactic shock reaction. And so I had my AirPods in. You know, AirPods are these things that when you buy them, you go, man, I think I'm going to lose these someday.
Yeah, that's the only thing I think about when I see them is like, that's gonna fall out of your ear at some point.
It has never fallen out of my ear. And I bought them on a whim at a Best Buy kiosk at an airport on the way back from New York, because my earphones were hurting my ears. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna be traveling a lot this summer. I'm gonna buy these. So I bought them, and they've been like revolutionary. I can connect them up to any computer that I have. That's a Mac, really easily. I can, my work computer, my home computer, I can connect them to my phone. I carry the case around and they recharge like very quickly. I can't speak highly enough of them. And then yesterday I got back to my office from the allergist and I couldn't find one of them.
Yeah, you're stuck.
I have the box in my pocket here, because you know, the box is the charger. I open it up and I can't find my left AirPod. My left AirPod is disappeared. So What is it? I have this feeling of like loss and disappointment, anger. I'm like mourning. I'm mourning a stupid AirPod because they're like $150 or more. I don't know what I was doing. I don't know why I bought it like that. They've been great, I guess. They've given me joy on some level. Because I can listen to music while moving around, or I can talk on the phone without being encumbered by a phone or cords. And that's
you can say that they spark joy.
They have sparked joy to you know. I'm trying to be tidier in my life.
Yeah, you're Marie Kondoing. Takes away those pesky cords.
So the frustration I felt and like the potential that they had to continue and the loss, I had to say to myself, what is the sports equivalent of losing your AirPods? And I wanted to ask you, just off the top of your head, and I had a few ideas, so I can either just get your initial reaction, or I can tell you the things that I thought of.
I have like an initial thing that just jumped out at me. I love the one that you wrote down here. Nash, Howard, Kobe, Gasol, Lakers is fantastic. But I'll use like a literal like Lakers example, and that's when Shaq was traded to the Miami Heat, and we went from having Kobe and Shaq to just having Kobe.
And Lamar Odom.
And Brian Grant. That's right. And Caron Butler.
That's
and
right.
At the time, I worked for the Lakers. And I
did you really?
Yes, I worked in the ticket office.
No way.
I had the worst job at the best place. If you were to like call 411, this was back in the time when people would call information.
Okay.
And if you asked for the Lakers, you would get my office. So I would deal with like season ticket holders, but then also like
crazy people.
Anybody who wants to like, I got something I want to say to Phil Jackson. And I shit you not. Caron Butler, after he got traded to the Lakers, because all the players had to come into our office to like get their season ticket allotment, Caron Butler showed up and introduced himself, and he was wearing a T-shirt. And you know who was on that T-shirt?
Shaq.
Caron Butler. He was wearing
that's right
a T-shirt that had him on it. And I was like, I don't know about this guy. I like this guy. Like, I like that. Like, that is a power move. I'm into it. And that was the year that we traded away Gary, because Gary Payton was on the team the year before. And we traded Gary Payton away, and we initially got like Marcus Banks, Chris Mim, and somebody else. And then like Gary Payton didn't show up, and then they like had to fix the trade. And we, instead of Marcus Banks, who at the time was like only like his second year, and it was like, oh, he was like a hot point guard.
Right.
We got like Chucky Atkins back.
Chucky Atkins.
Yeah, who it was very aptly nicknamed Sucky Atkins.
Oh. And
he came up to the office with like a very large entourage for a very like middle of the road NBA player and demanded, I think my boss said that like he just asked for more tickets than we used to give Shaq. And I'm like, just like, I just told him no. Anyway. So that to me is like a pretty good equivalent, because you had two things that worked really well together.
Right.
And then you were left with one. And I'll tell you what, though, but to be hopeful, that one thing worked very hard, which I believe your one AirPod is not going to work very hard.
I mean, it'll still work if I put it in my ear, I think.
Yeah. But it's not going to work better until you add a second AirPod, aka a Pau Gasol,
and I'm
with your Kobe AirPod.
And I've already thought through like, can I buy one that'll sync up with it? Is that something that they even do? Maybe somebody else lost a right one and they want to sell their left one to me.
You could probably go on eBay.
Do I want to put an AirPod that's been in somebody else's ear in my ear?
No,
I don't know.
No.
Hey,
no.
A random thing. When you mentioned Caron Butler, we did our Big West men's basketball preview earlier this week.
It's in my podcast list. I'm going to listen to it later today.
And it so happens that on the UC Irvine basketball team, Caron Butler's son plays.
Yes, that's right.
On UC Irvine, JC Butler. So there you go. A way to kind of pimp out the other.
Bring it back. Podcast,
bring it all together. We love doing these, and I really enjoy talking about the Big West basketball and Big Sky football and all kinds of fun stuff. So
I'm into it.
Definitely check it out. Kenny, so for me, the answer, I think, was kind of when we had all this potential of Steve Nash and Dwight Howard kind of in their prime. Yeah. Kobe and Pau Gasol. That was supposed to be an amazing team. Nash wasn't in his prime then, I guess.
This is going
to
be fun, was the Sports Illustrated cover.
Right, right. And yeah. I couldn't quite, you know, I can't quite put it together. I said to myself when I bought the AirPods, I said, if I can hold out for a year, if they last for a year before I lose them, then it will have been worth it. And at this point, they've lasted about 7 or 8 months. So
maybe I'll
find it still. Maybe it fell out in the car and my truck is a disaster. So maybe I need to look in my truck a little bit more and, you know, under the seats and stuff. I'm going to do that. The allergist knows that if they find an AirPod, it's mine. I called them and I drove up to the top of Bishop Street where the allergist is up by.
What a phone call to make. Do you have a single AirPod?
Yeah, I was just in there getting a shot. Can you like look by the chair that I was sitting in? Cause they know, I mean, they're like, yeah, Owen, 1 second. And they went, nope, don't see it. I would have seen it. And then you know what I did after that, Kenny? I stopped by there on my way home from work.
Yourself?
to look for myself. Like she wouldn't have seen it somehow. I looked under cars in the parking lot. I looked in the, I don't know. Anyway,
it's not great.
What a
great week.
Let's get a win against Sac State this week. There's lots of games in the Big Sky though. And this week, Kenny, we had a, we've had Nick Cage and Chris Christopherson, make some Big Sky picks for us. Who's making the picks this week?
Yeah, it was going to be Jesse Pinkman, but then, I proofed it for him and I was like, I don't think this sounds good. So I told him that sounded better in my head, but and then so we have I was able to make a quick phone call to my man Jeff Goldblum, who is always ready to go at any moment's notice to pretty much do anything. If you follow him on any sort of social media or anything like this, like the video of him losing his mind over Spider-Man leaving the MCU earlier this summer is probably the best thing that exists on the internet.
I need to find that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful, especially after you hear Jeff Goldblum talk. You're going to be like, wow, it's almost like you copied that. But just to be clear, Jeff Goldblum has been talking like that for a long time, including at least for the past couple of years since I've been doing an impression of him.
Awesome. And if people want to follow you or find your stuff, Kenny, what do you want to push out there right now?
Oh, Kenny G. Stevenson on Twitter. There's an episode of Brooklyn Nine. I'm in the season premiere of the fourth episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Whenever that opens up, there's cross your fingers. You'll know by next week. I'm supposedly might be shooting another episode next week as well.
That's fantastic. One of my favorite shows. One of my favorite dudes, Kenny Stevenson.
We'll
be back at you next week with the Half Rusty podcast. In the meantime, here are the Goldblum picks of the week.
Love it.
Oh. Yeah. Hi. Yeah. Hi. Yeah. I. Yeah. Am. Yeah. Yeah. Jeff Goldblum. Yeah. And I have for you. Some Big Sky picks of the week. Yeah. First up, Montana State. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And versus North Dakota. Yeah. Yeah. And let me just say, Jeff Goldblum loves North Dakota. I love it. Yeah. You know, it's just so wild there. Wild. It's like mountains and snow. And Yeah. All right. Yeah. Next is Eastern Washington. Versus Montana. Oh, Montana State. Well, the Eagles versus... Yeah, the Grizz. Uh-huh. Yeah. And you know what animal I love? Yeah, it's a bear. Yeah. Yeah. Because a bear, very close to a dinosaur. Yeah. Ow. Yeah. And then let's go with, Idaho State, Southern Utah. Wow. Yeah. Wild. Yeah, let's go with Southern Utah, because Northern Utah, yeah, I don't like very much. Wow. Yeah, now, Portland State, yeah, versus Northern Arizona, yeah, University, I definitely am a fan of lumberjacks, yeah, because I, Jeff, I, Jeff Goldblum, am a lumberjack, Weber State, versus UC Davis, wow, California is a beautiful place. Wines. Davis. And then finally, Sacramento State versus Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Yeah, I love Cal Poly. Love it. The wine.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Trouble town, it's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision, and the people on the streets they beat me up till I'm black and blue. You lift me up.